no sinner in this room, and that's all we are, deserves or could ever inherit the wealth God designs for His children to have. We cannot have it. We don't deserve it. We're sinners. Therefore, Christ comes into the world. He stretches Himself out on the cross and bears all of our sin so that He might buy and become our treasure.
How does God become our treasure when we don't deserve Him? That's the question John Piper answers from Romans 11, 33 to 36 in this episode of Light and Truth. The sermon was originally preached at Bethlehem Baptist Church on March 21st, 2004.
God is infinitely rich because He is His own infinitely valuable treasure. If He made nothing, He would be infinitely rich. If nothing but God existed, He would be infinitely rich. And He exists in a triune nature as the Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit, that He might enjoy what He is communally, so that He did not need to create us in order to enjoy what He is. He was free to include us in that enjoyment, and He did, if we would have it. When the Bible, when the Apostle Paul in particular, uses phrases like this, the riches of God's grace, Ephesians 1:7, the riches of His kindness, Romans 2:4, the riches of His glory, Romans 9:23. The essence of what he means is this: God Himself gracious, God Himself kind, God Himself glorious, offered to us for our everlasting enjoyment and satisfaction. God Himself is our treasure because He is His own infinite wealth. You know the most personal way to say this? Ephesians 3:8, the unsearchable riches of Christ. And I think that little phrase, the unsearchable riches of Christ, means not only what Christ gives, but what Christ is. He is the unsearchable wealth of the universe. How does Paul say it in Colossians 1:27? The riches of the glory of this mystery, namely, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The riches of the glory of the mystery. What? Christ Himself in me, hope of His glory, my enjoyment of it forever and ever, exposing me to new vistas of all-satisfying beauty every day of eternity to come. Christ is Himself the present guarantee and the future gift of the glory of God. When Christ died, He both bought for us and became for us the greatest treasure of the universe. No sinner in this room, and that's all we are, deserves or could ever inherit the wealth God designs for His children to have. We cannot have it. We don't deserve it. We're sinners. Therefore, Christ comes into the world. He stretches Himself out on the cross and bears all of our sin so that He might buy and become our treasure. And conversion is a double thing. It is having all of our sins taken away, and it is having a new nature given to us so that that doesn't sound boring anymore, but absolutely spectacularly satisfying forever and ever to have Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, becoming our friend, our food, our drink, our horizon every day. I just read in a psalm this morning, He makes the morning to sing and the evening to sing every day. And I devoted some time to thinking about, what does that mean? God makes the morning sing and the evening sing. What he means is sunrises and sunsets. There's a visual song there. It's all about, this is the way I am, folks. As the sun goes down, I make it really pretty. And as the sun comes up, I make it really pretty. Because that's the way I am. These things are singing to you about what it's like to know me. The heavens, especially morning and evening, are telling the glory of Christ. So Christ is the personal way to talk about the riches of God. Let's go to wisdom. His riches are very deep and great. What about His wisdom and His knowledge? What's the difference, first of all? Wisdom, knowledge. There's kind of a common way to understand the difference. It doesn't hold always in the Bible, but I'm going to use it anyway. Usually we think knowledge, that's facts. We know facts. And wisdom is the insight for how to use the facts to accomplish good ends, good purposes. And people can be very knowledgeable and foolish. And they can be very wise, but not have much knowledge to work with. Now that won't always hold. You read the book of Proverbs, and sometimes knowledge and wisdom, they just overlap and interpenetrate. But I think in general that's okay to talk like that. So let's let that help us. That knowledge is knowledge of facts. And wisdom is the insight how to use them to get where you want to go. Accomplish the high purposes. So first let's deal with knowledge. The knowledge of God, this says, is very, very deep. Hidden deep and reality deep and foundational deep. It's very, very great. What is it? God knows all recorded facts. All the facts stored in all the computers of the world, God knows. He could tell you any one of them if you ask Him. He knows every fact in every book in every library in the world. And what's on microfiche. But vastly more than all recorded facts, God knows all events at the macro level. On earth, in the atmosphere, the far reaches of space, every galaxy, star, planet. God knows all events at the micro level. All that happens in molecules, atoms, electrons, protons, neutrons, quarks. He knows all their movements, every location of every particle and its condition at every nanosecond of time. He knows all events that happen in the human mind. And in the human will, and in angelic minds, and demonic minds at every moment. All volitional events, and all emotional events, and all spiritual events, all thoughts, all choices, all feelings at all times, He is perfectly aware of. And that includes all of those that are past, all of those that are happening at this moment, and all of those that will happen into eternity. He knows now, infallibly. He knows every event that has ever happened or ever will happen. He knows every level of existence, physical, mental, volitional. He knows all facts and events, and He knows all of their relationships and how they affect one another. When one event happens, whether at the subatomic level or at the galactic level, He sees it perfectly, and in the instant that it happens, He sees the billion, 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 trillion, trillion effects of it in every part of the universe. And each time of an effect happens, another billion is unleashed. And each one of those unleashes another billion of effects. And each one of those unleashes another billion effects. And He knows them all before they happen. And He is not the least taxed in this knowledge. He doesn't get a headache. He is at ease. It is very easy for him to know this. That's what it means to be God and not man. What about wisdom? If he knows that much and it is very deep, what about wisdom? Paul says God's wisdom is very deep. Oh, the depth of the wisdom of God. God is infinitely wise. That means he is able to conceive and implement, carry out his purposes and his plans and make use of all this knowledge to bring about what he intends to bring about. He knows how to use facts and how to guide events to achieve the best end, namely, we'll see this next week especially, the end of it all, the display of the fullness of his glory, magnified in the white-hot worship of a blood-bought people. If you ask, what's the point of it all? Where does his massive, bottomless wisdom tend? Where does it lead? Where is it taking the universe? The answer is, it is taking the universe to the perfect display of the full range of the glorious perfections of God, magnified and echoed back to him in the white-hot worship of a blood-bought believing people. Forever and ever and ever. That is what the universe is about. And it's all in Christ. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So Christ is the beginning and the creator of it all. He's the sustainer of it all. Colossians 1:17. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. The galaxies hold together. The atom holds together because Christ says, hold together, atom. I say so. And if Christ were to withdraw his word, the universe would cease to be. And Colossians 1:16, it is all for Christ, from him, through him, and to him. It says all things were created for him, for the display of his glory, for the magnification of his name, or as we were singing, for the honors of his name. Which implies that Jesus Christ is the meaning of all things. If everything is made by Christ, if Christ holds in being all that is, including the laws that make nature work and make brains function, and all of it is tending toward the magnifying of his mercy and power and wisdom and wrath and grace and truth and justice, if that's what everything is about, every single thought in human brains, the University of Minnesota, in the Minneapolis Star Tribune office, at the Capitol, or in your homes, every single human thought that does not relate to Jesus as its origin, sustainer, and goal is a thought in rebellion against the Lord of the universe. Which means there's a lot of rebellion in this city. Christ is marginalized, even in many churches. Not to mention media, entertainment, business, education. Just think of the massive rebellion in public education, where Christ is never brought into relationship to all the thoughts that come from him, are held by him, lead to him, and it is all denied. I tell you, it is one great, massive miracle of grace that we breathe another breath every day. And don't get swept away in the judgment. Well, the riches are in Christ. I count everything as loss for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Savior, Paul said. He's infinitely valuable, and therefore Paul says everything is rubbish compared to knowing Jesus. And He's wisdom. He's not just riches, He's wisdom. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:24? We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews, foolishness to the Gentiles, but to those who are being called, the wisdom of God and the power of God. Christ crucified. What was happening in Mel Gibson's movie as Christ hung on the screen for those who have eyes to see and are being called by God with their hearts being opened to the glory is wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. It's all God's marvelous way of saving millions and millions of people from the very sin that should bring down His wrath upon them if only justice ruled His heart. And it isn't only justice that rules His heart. Christ is all about grace, and He's all about patience, and He's all about mercy and love and the wise way God chose to save you is not foolishness and a stumbling block. And He is knowledge, everything sustained by Him, everything known by Him, everything created by Him. It is He that everything is for. Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. May the revelation of the Son, Jesus Christ, draw you to worship Him, to stand in awe of Him, to yield your life to Him, to receive Him, and to spend the rest of your eternity enjoying getting to know the one being who is sufficient to satisfy your soul forever. As you grow and grow and grow, both in the capacities for pleasure and in the sight of the resources to satisfy them in Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, as I look out across the room, it just seems to me that people are on the brink saying, I don't think I can ever have affections adequate to that Christ. I'm just not wired to stand in awe of anything. I just like pizza. I just like television. Father, I ask that nobody would give up, that everybody would look beyond what they are in themselves and realize that conversion is a miracle of being changed to have new affections and new capacities of joy. And so I pray that as we close, You would awaken those capacities and that You would draw people out of the numbness of worldliness into the living experience of the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of Christ, who is the image and the radiance and the very image of God. In His name we pray. Amen.
This is Light and Truth, God-centered preaching to help you see Christ clearly and treasure Him truly. I'm your host, Dan Kruver. Thank you for listening. On our next episode, John Piper concludes our three-part series, The Riches of God, with a sermon titled, To Him Be Glory Forever. I hope you'll join us. For more resources, visit desiringgod.org.